access number 31402, Reel 6.
And what's your attitude now towards the war as a whole?
Towards war? You should be in there and listen to me about what's going on at the moment. You know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, first start, why do those lads have to be out there? It's got nothing to do with us. Why do they have to be there? They've got nothing to do with us. 100 and odd killed there. What's those, you know, these idiots? War is utterly futile. Futile. There's no good comes of it. I don't think any good's ever come out of any war at all. And if there's another one, I'm not going. How's that? Mind you, see, you could say, well, it's your own fault. Why did you join the army? Now, that's a good question. Why did I join? I don't know. Had a mood on, I think. Bit of a mood. Got signed 6 of my years life away and said, I got a mood on. That's what it was supposed to be, 6 and 6. I did, what, nearly 9, I think.
How much did you find that it, after the war had finished, how much did you find that it preyed on your mind?
A lot. Yes, for quite a long while. That's when I couldn't settle down, you see. Yes. Thinking of things. Yeah. You know, same as the reason I don't want to do that other thing. It's people that you'd known, you see. And, you know, when you'd, the circumstances were nasty. So, it did for quite a while, actually. I couldn't, even now, I get a bit morbid. If I start thinking about it, you know. I have to think about the more pleasant side of it. But of the actual active service part of it.
Is that something you found similar in other servicemen?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. Just a little thing. We got on the boat at Dunkirk to come home, and it was one of these with paddles on. And I mean, I don't know the first thing about it. We came down through the water. We came down. There'd been a bit of, you know, but we came down, and all of a sudden, from, I think they said it was Calais, so the shell started. Now, everyone, the shells are coming that way. Everyone comes, rushes to this side and down, crouch down, you see, and the boat goes, it's only a paddle steamer after all, and they're all at that side. There's a screw, the crew screaming. Get back! They couldn't bloody hear anything. Get back! Don't be bothered about this. And a man, forget his name now, who it was, and he said, "Come on, tanks, show them how it's done. Back on the other side." There was a. I was crouched down beside a man. There was an officer and all. I was laid down there, flat as. You know, trying to get behind a matchstock and a piece of shrapnel hit him somewhere, not a big piece. Oh, and he started, I thought he was going to jump overboard, and I had to get out of him to hold him. He's, you know, he's gone. The nerve had, you know, the nerve had gone. But you see, an incident like that, okay, we got home all right. There was a lot, I was on the, you know, the deck. But a lot got hurt on that deck up there. I know one man who got lost both his legs. He was up there. But as I say, how do you forget those sort of things? You can't, you see, can you? You don't keep remembering about them, but just occasionally they creep back again. Something will, somewhere will remind you of it. I don't think you can ever be the same, really, can you? Not the same as you were before you saw it. Before you were involved in it. You then go to Liverpool and you get on a boat. Bombing again. They hadn't got the convoy together, so you pull out, you know, for safety, pull out there a bit. And then you set off. And then you and you go out, well, biggest part of the way to America, actually, to avoid the submarines, you know. But I mean, just think what's going through there, down there, you see, after the Dunkirk effort, you know, and then you see you have about maybe two little destroyers guarding. It's there all the time. You can't dismiss it. You can walk about, you know, say, nothing, but underneath, you was always wondering. You never took your life jacket off. 4.5 weeks, we slept down below. 4.5 weeks with a life jacket round us. You had to do. Yeah. And don't forget, if you jump, keep your hand on it, otherwise it'll break your neck. Not today, not the, nowadays, those, you jumped like that and hold it down, otherwise when you hit it, the cork, you know, that will break your neck, so don't do that. But, as I say, you can't cast it out of your mind altogether. It just makes you think of these things. You can utter a sigh of relief when you get there. But it's still there, isn't it?
Do you think there was adequate support for servicemen after the war?
No. Ooh, not by any means. I mean, there was an example. I got that little thing for my ears the first time I got the ticket off me. But, no, I'm not talking about that anyway. It's more the badly injured one. The amount that they pay them is ridiculous. I think it's showing itself up again on these lads that are coming home now. They're trying to skive out of... I mean, they've put their lives on the line, haven't they, for... You can say, well, it was their fault, but that ain't the way to look at it, is it? Well, it would mean no government would ever pay them what, you know, compensate them sufficiently. How can you compensate someone sufficiently for risking their lives? You can't really, can you? For my father, I was about a year and a half when he got killed. My mother drew 10 shillings per week until I was 16. And that, for those days, was a good rate. For those days, better than they pay today, I think. Compared, you know, 10 shillings in those days, that's what they paid then. 10 shillings for best part of 15 years. Yeah. However, there we are, that way.